Kicking off the new year here at Dish, we're going to talk about why George Clooney loves him some Chrissy Teigen. It's good.
And why Ryan Phillippe's Cruel Intentions role almost ruined his relationship with his parents. But first, Chewy, what you got going on?
Okay, can you believe there's actually one person Jason Momoa is scared of? Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
Come on, we just made it to 2020, Chewy. There's nothing left to be scared of.
Very true, Frank, but you and Aquaman might have something in common. Both of you are terrified of your wives. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Now, right. Now, in an interview with Men's Health Magazine, he admitted that he was scared to ask his wife, Lisa Bonet, out 18 years ago when he was only 26 years old and she was 38.
Wow.
And here's what he had to say about mustering up the courage to approach his dream girl. This is what he said. A mess, especially when you meet someone you're completely infatuated with and then you find out she's amazing, intelligent, and funny, and a goddess, and you're a degenerate. Then he went on to say, I may look big and tough, but I'm not. I'm nothing like Khal Drogo. I'm not even the king of my own house. I'm absolutely terrified of my wife. That is hilarious. But yo, Sherry, what do you think Lisa Bonet thought about this, knowing that her man is terrified of her?
I think, you know, if I was in Lisa Bonet's shoes, her and I graduated together from the same high school. But I think it probably amuses her because he's so big and she's so freaking tiny.
I feel the same way as Jason Momoa. I'm a little scared of Lisa Bonet, too. I mean, in that weird way, she's kind of scary.
After Angel Heart, you're like,
Chewy. Listen, the reason I'm scared of my wife, Chewy, is because Jason Momoa found out that she's a goddess and she's smart and he's a degenerate. I found out my wife's a degenerate. That's what freaked me out.
You're more afraid of the degenerate part of her.
Exactly. It's like, you know when you go to a bar and it's like the Cheers bar, it's like, oh, everybody knows your name at that particular bar. Every bar we went to, everybody knew her name. I'm like, shouldn't this be like one bar? Can we go someplace? And they're like, hey! I'm like,
do you realize are you a degenerate? Do you realize you married Norm?
I married Norm.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like George Clooney is into the petty culture. I love it. Just a little. So in an interview with GQ magazine, George opened up about going head to head with his critics, but he reveals that he loves to watch Chrissy Teigen take on that challenge. George said, I have much more fun watching Chrissy Teigen. Somebody steps into her world and you go, uh-oh, I wouldn't do that, dude. It's like so much fun. Like somebody who thinks they're really smart and you just go, dude, you brought a knife to a gunfight? So then George went on to say that he tends to choose good fights. And he's got this stash of letters that he's written to people that his assistant jokingly calls George versus the world.
I think George is just a little bit jealous. Because do you think George could tweet, you know, the clapbacks like Chrissy Teigen being a serious actor like that, Chewy? No?
No, absolutely not. You know, he's a serious actor. And we have a taste of George Clooney's, like, sense of humor, but I don't know if he could get away with it. Chrissy Teigen just goes ham on social media.
But I think that's where you talk about when people say, what is a brand? Chrissy Teigen's brand is she goes ham on people. She's really silly, and she's out there. George Clooney's brand is he's an activist. He's very political. He's very serious. Right. So him trying to
a civil rights attorney.
I see George Clooney running for office someday. You can't be Chrissy Teigen. Is never going to run for office.
That's true. Right. All right, so Ryan Phillippe opened up about his role as Sebastian in the 1999 film Cruel Intentions and said it caused a lot of issues with his family. Now, during an interview with the podcast Barstool Sports, KFC Radio, he admitted that his risque roles, this was like during the beginning of his career, almost got him kicked to the curb by his family because they were super religious. Listen to this.
Going back and looking at Cruel Intentions, man, what a trip that movie is. When you were making that, were you guys like, damn, this is a weird, or was it just like more normal at the time? I'm trying to figure out how that aged, because it was never normal, right? It was always weird as shit.
No, and I thought my parents were gonna disown me. And
really? How old were you shooting that?
23.
Okay.
My first role ever, though, coming out of the Christian school when I was a senior in high school, I played the first gay character on a soap opera. Right, first gay teenager ever. And so I was shunned at that point. So they were already out of the picture.
All these years later, I guess it's almost 20 years later, Ryan Phillippe said he wouldn't mind going back and playing a role like Sebastian again.
Mm. And that's where he met his wife.
That's right. And they got married soon after that. So he played a gay character, which I'm sure upset his religious family.
Yeah.
Then he played Sebastian in Cruel Intentions, which obviously is going to upset his family. And then he met Reese, got her pregnant, and got married.
Boom. But Sherry, it's acting. I mean, you think maybe his parents would understand if you're going to go into an acting career. You never know what role you're going to land. So how can you be upset?
No, because you know what? You got to understand, like, your family is not Hollywood. All of this stuff that we understand and it's norm, it's not to them. And if you got a very religious, very conservative family and morally it still goes against their beliefs, that stuff is hard. It's even when I curse, my dad calls me up and goes, why you got to curse? Why you couldn't say another word like fudge? Because fudge don't sound right, daddy.
The things we do and believe when we're young, in an episode of the digital show Lady Parts with Sarah Hyland.
Go on. What?
Hillary Duff and Ashley Benson made an appearance. They went to talk about one of their favorite subjects, which was sex.
Okay. All right.
So this episode was centered around misconceptions of sex. So your early misconceptions. And the ladies were pretty candid about what they thought would happen the first time they did, you know, the thing.
S-E-X, yeah.
And it's pretty interesting. Listen to this.
What were the biggest misconceptions about sex that you had when you were younger?
Oh my God, well, I thought the first time you have sex, you're gonna get pregnant.
Really?
I thought if you can get you get pregnant. I mean, anything touching your vagina, I was like, I'm gonna get pregnant. You know what I mean?
I used to think that if you could get pregnant by a toilet seat, like if a guy went in there and used the bathroom before you, standing, and maybe he did something else, and then you sat down because they were supposedly swimmers, sperm can swim. So I thought if it got caught on there, and then it could swim up. I would say a good 15 years, I always hovered over a toilet seat, no matter where I was.
So you had really strong legs growing up, Heidi. Like, all your legs were like...
Oh, Chewy, I could break your neck if I wanted to.
Oh, my gosh. My parents were very, very religious, and they told me if I had sex, I was going straight to hell. So it was so... And look, when we had... Remember we had that big earthquake back in, like, 86 or something like that? That huge one? I was in bed with somebody, and I thought that was Jesus coming back to take just me.
Hell. Oh, no.
So literally, I jumped up out of bed, Heidi. I was butt naked, and I prayed for 40 minutes through that earthquake. And I was like, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior. I'm so sorry. I thought I was going straight to hell.
Jesus is coming to get you, Sherry. Stop being dirty.
Up next, LL Cool J might have made it to Hollywood, but he's still keeping it real. ATL will explain after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, some people see going Hollywood as a negative thing. They say it's an insult to people who've become famous and maybe started acting like it, too. Mm. But you better check yourself before you wreck yourself, before you say that to LL Cool J, okay? Because the rapper and actor recently tweeted, okay, it's time to get something clear, you know what I'm saying? Calling me Hollywood is not an insult. I came from Queens and busted my ass to get here. Mm. I earned every dime. I'm absolutely Hollywood. Your envy.
Let them know, King.
Looks like the shark spin is still up.
Okay. Sherry, have you ever been accused of going Hollywood, and do you think it's an insult?
Brad, if you think going to the grocery store buying Charmin toilet paper, getting tampons, and cleaning out the toilet, and that dead rat from under my house is Hollywood, then here I am. I don't buy into the going Hollywood because you got your friends who keep you grounded. This is what I do. It is not who I am. So.
I feel like a lot of times when people say going Hollywood, it's 9 times out of 10, that's somebody trying to knock you down to size. Like, because if I'm Hollywood, let me glow up. Let me be blessed. Let me shine.
All right, Charlotte, would you believe President Barack Obama is afraid of his daughter? Yep. He recently told Jimmy Kimmel the reason Sasha scares him. Now, he said, Sasha, there's a mini Michelle. I'm afraid of Michelle. And Sasha basically has the same look. Malia, more like me. We call ourselves the long faces because Malia's face is more shaped like mine. And the round faces are Michelle and Sasha. The round faces are a fiercer tribe. We try to keep the peace with them. So, now, Portia, do you think the shape of your face can determine your personality?
I feel like it could a little bit because I have always had a narrow face, which, you know, I've always kind of been jealous of people with round faces. So I feel like round face people are like more confident. Like round faces, they're just like so cute and just like always like seem like they're always joyful.
Yes,
that's why, because I always felt like it was the thin face people were a lot more confident because like they're like I guess in shape, they're spending more time in the gym, and like round face people, like we're jolly. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
that ain't
no positive thing to be. You know, when a man looks at me and says, Sherry, you are so jolly, that's not sexy at all, Portia.
Not sexy.
You're so jolly.
What about joyful? No.
Joyful. There you go. That's the
word. Okay, as a mom, I know it can be very hard to keep a baby entertained, but I never did anything like this. And warning, please, if you are triggered by flashing lights, close your eyes and look away for the next 60 seconds because singer Grimes turned bath time into a party for her son, X-Ash A12. She shared a video of the baby in the bathtub with flashing lighted toys and captioned it, "New invention, bath ray for baby."
Wow.
I thought it was kind of cool. Now, do you think that her child will ever want a basic bath after this?
No, not at all. And her kid is going to be ready to go straight from the tub to the rave, okay? That's it. Ain't no nap time. He ready to go straight to the rave. That's what she doing. He's going to be a DJ for real.
So, Portia, do you think everyone should have bath toys?
Oh, of course. You got to have bath toys because they don't always want to take a bath. When they get PJ age, someday she act like the water is acid. Like I'm trying to melt her.
I was talking about adults and bath toys.
Sherry's being nasty.
I wasn't talking about
being
baby.
Nasty. She's trying to really so lead with that one.
Some of y'all gonna let you pee yourselves.
Do you think that adults should have bath toys? Is what I'm asking.
No, I don't. When I'm taking my bath, I want to relax. I'll probably do that before I get in the bath and then continue relaxing.
And wash all the sins off. Okay.
Wash the nastiness off.
Washing the
Welcome
sin
to
off.
Dish Nation After Dark, everyone.
Okay. Up next, Princess Diana almost ruined a movie premiere for Michael J. Fox back in the day, and you'll never guess why. We'll tell you after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
All right, y'all. It's time for story time. That's right, y'all. And today's story comes from Michael J. Fox as he tells about the time that Princess Diana almost ruined an important movie premiere for him. Michael shared with Jimmy Fallon on his show that once upon a time in 1985 at the premiere of Back to the Future, I was seated next to Princess Diana.
Wow.
I realized I was only one fake yawn and an arm stretch away from being on a date with her. But then I had to pee. For the rest of the movie, I was in agony because I couldn't say anything to her and I couldn't walk away from her because I couldn't turn my back to her. It could have been the greatest night of my life, but it was just a pee-holding night.
Now that would have changed history.
Now, Sherry, Michael couldn't turn his back to her due to an etiquette rule, but if you were in his shoes, girl, what would you have done?
If it was Princess Diana, I'd have been like, girl, I'm about to pee right here. Because she a girl, you know. But now, Brett, if it was Michael B. Jordan, I'd be like, Michael, can you please walk me to the bathroom? Because I don't want to go by myself. But Princess Diana, I'd be like, girl, I'm about to pee. I'm about to pee right on your foot.
I would do just like we do in church. I would put one foot. Up and I will cross over her and I will go to the restroom, baby.
Not cross over the princess.
I would just have to transform for the quick moment. Lady Di, I have to pee, darling. Let me just scoot, scoot, and tinkle, tinkle. Yep. I'll be back.
And Chewy, I know you play and you really smooth with it now. So if you was in his position, would you have done the fake yawn and old stretch on Princess Diana?
If I had to pee, I would get my ass up and go pee, y'all. I'm sorry.
Meanwhile, I would have been sitting there with bubble guts.
Girl, wow. You better be glad you pretty, Portia. You better be glad you pretty.
All right, y'all, we're moving on. One fan got a little TMI when they asked former star of the TLC reality show 19 Kids and Counting, Jill Duggar, a question on her Instagram page. Now, one fan commented on this picture that Jill posted, thanking her fans about advice on a new nose piercing.
Mm.
Well, the comment said, amazingly surprised that your brother is 17 and engaged. Why do you guys rush to married life? He's a kid, and Claire, too. Wow. Well, Jill's husband, Derek, replied by saying, because we want to have sex.
Okay. True. True.
So, Portia, what do you think about Derek's response? Was you expecting that?
I was not expecting that, but at least he kept it 1,000, and he's doing it decent, and he's decent and in order with his religion, so I can't do nothing but respect his horniness, okay?
That's right.
HK and Sherry, both of you have older children. What would be your reaction if your 17-year-old came to you and said, I want to get married?
Wow. Let me tell you something. It would be the opposite of a shotgun wedding. I would show up with a shotgun to prevent them from getting married. Way too young. You got your whole life ahead of you.
Yeah.
Yes. No, you don't.
Look up who you were with at 17 right now on Facebook.
Right. Oh, my God.
God saved some of y'all. Oh. Y'all guys, mad bullets in these streets.
The one I was with at 17, he in prison. So up next, what comedian wishes he stayed home after finding out his salary for his cameo in the movie Home Alone? We'll tell you after the break.
Dish Nation. Dish Nation.
As you can see, my resolution was dressed a little bit better this year.
I see that. Well, you fell off. Yeah, you broke your resolution.
I know. I already ruined that one.
You look bad.
Well, it looks like the late, great John Candy sliced the 1990 classic Home Alone pie wasn't as big as he expected. Mm. According to reports, he was only paid $414 for his cameo. And the director said he always felt bitter.
Well, he was hitting me a whole lot.
He was John Candy doing a cameo.
Yeah, he played the polka star.
Yeah, Polka.
Kolinsky.
Gus Kolinsky.
Yeah.
And supposedly he was only on set for one day, and most of his lines were just improv from John Candy.
Right. Man.
And he was already a big star at the time when that movie came out. He'd done Splash and Spaceballs and Uncle Buck.
He was huge.
So, Sherry, John did the role as a favor, it says. Think he'd still agree if he knew how big and timely this movie was going to be?
Frank, not only that, would he have done it if he knew how much that movie was going to make?
Yeah.
When you have to improvise scenes, that's still a lot of work. It takes a lot of energy when you're thinking off the top of your head and everything has to be different in each scene. So a day's worth of work, he worked, and he was a big name. So $414, I would have been pissed. I was getting more.
I'm writing and I'm producing more movies now, and I'm going to put all of you in my movies, and I'm going to give you $500 a day.
Chewy. All right, I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
But I would do it for free for you.
Yeah, we'll work for free. We just want back end stuff.
I'll give you the back end, Cher. I'll give you the back end.
Yeah, I know you will. Yeah, that's all the payment I need, Chewy.
Hey. You got to be specific.
We're talking about movies.
Thanks for checking out Dish Nation on Audio Boom. Make sure you listen to any episodes you may have missed. They're right down below, or maybe they're over there. Just scroll up. Look, you'll find it. If you like what you heard, share it with your friends. Even share it with your enemies. Either way, share it.